What's up? It's Kareem Kweli from San Pablo, Burgos in Spain, and you're tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Gareth Murray, player coach from the Glasgow Rocks. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Andy Thompson. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
This is Anthony Rowe, and you're now tuned in to the BBL
this
Show.
This is Mike Tuck from the Sheffield Sharks. You're now tuned in to the BBL Show.
Yo, 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 what's going on? It's Kofi Josephs, and you're listening to the BBL Show.
This is Ashley Hamilton, a.k.a. AGP of the Plymouth Raiders, and you are now tuned into the BBL Show.
And now your hosts, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker.
Welcome to the show, episode 19. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. It's the road to the finals. We are sprinting towards the first silverware of the season. The last two in this race, Drew's Newcastle Eagles and the Juggernauts, the London Lions. We set the scene here today and then continue throughout the week, dropping little Easter eggs along the way. This has been a creative team effort, so we really hope you enjoy. In the pod today, we cover Martin Luther King Day, the significance of this great man and the impact he has in this country. This will give us a great chance to revisit with Yvonne Harris as we also review the league's commitment to the Black Lives Matter movement. We are also joined by Newcastle Eagle high flyer Justin Gordon to get his thoughts in this space and also his cup final thoughts. Also, don't forget, we give you the week scores and scorers, news from around the league, player of the week candidates, a finals education with the Lasker look back. And to tip off the show, it's the Marriott Minute. Okay, intrigued me. Open Gym, presented by Bell, focuses on the Toronto Raptors, Nick Nurse and Chris Finch connection, showing their battles right here in the BBL during the 90s. It's a must watch. Go find it on your socials. Also, another pod on the horizon. Give our guys of All Things Giants with Jake and Jordan a listen. We need to support our British basketball community. Get behind them. Okay, engage me. Shout out to my boy Josh Wilshire. He is back. Great to see him. It's great for the Flyers. I'm sure those lungs were a-burning, though, after that first game back. Also, a new signing for the Flyers, Justin Baker, a veteran big man who won a championship with Wilshire in Australia. Interesting signing. A show exclusive from Drew Lasker, that big footer that was hiding behind the Lions bench, was Darrell Moore. He will be in for their European games. So don't worry, there won't be anyone rocking up to these finals. And also watch this space later on for an update exclusive on Byron Mullins. Congratulations to Johnny Bunyan. Johnny Manhands himself got his 500th assist tonight in their win over the Sharks. Congratulations, Johnny. Amused me, TikTok has hit the BBL. The league and clubs have been launching their TikTok intentions. As it's been reported, the hashtag British Basketball has over 5 million followers. The new space for social media content in sport. To finish, Arabella, she blows up my Twitter all the time about how hard we are on the blocks. She got her win today. And I'm sure Drew will agree, we are happy to be wrong. That's it for this week's Marriott Minute.
And as always, the Marriott Minute and that synopsis, Jay, is hot fire. But I move along to scores and top performers of the week. It began on a Tuesday night where the Newcastle Eagles defeated the Leicester Riders in the BBL Cup semis, making it to their 10th cup in Eagles history. Cortez Edwards starring with 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 steals. Mr. Officer, we have a thief on the loose. League action returned on Friday night as Mekhi Elon hit a poorly defended buzzer beater, scoring his only basket for the Worcester Wolves as they defeated the Phoenix 73-71. Jordan Williams with 24 points and 9 dimes. Leicester Riders bounced back after being dropped from the cup, beating the Plymouth Raiders on the road 82-70, with General Gino almost messed around and got a triple-double with 18 points, 17 rebounds, and 8 assists, the highest rebounding guard effort since 2019. Some guy named Drew Lasker.
Oh, my God!
I know him!
The London Lions continued their hot form as they defeated the Bristol Flyers 98-70, which gives them 10 in a row in all competitions. MVP candidate DeAndre Liggins with an easy 18 points, 7-7. The Newcastle Eagles went on to defeat the Sheffield Sharks live on Sky Sports 92-84 as Cortez Edwards stole the show with 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Moving along to where Sundays are normally known for roast dinners, but in the British Basketball League, we got action as always. The Bristol Flyers went down to the Worcester Wolves 73-76 as Brandon Anderson had 21 points. The Glasgow Rocks with the shocker defeated the Sheffield Sharks 65-54 as Lillard and Jakami star with 18 points. I hope I got that name right. The Cheshire Phoenix edge out the Surrey Scorchers 92-87 as Jalen Hayes with a nice 31-pointer. And finally, to wrap up the evening, my Newcastle Eagles squeaked out the Plymouth Raiders 77-76. And of course, the player of the month, Cortez Edwards, with a light 22 points.
Absolutely. And hey, a quick question just to finish there for you, Drew, is my Plymouth Raiders, okay, this hurts. I think that puts them at 3-7 now, I believe. What is going wrong in Devon?
Man, that's, you know, for me, I think it's pretty simple. I think the Andrew Lawrence effect, I'm pretty sure that they didn't have plans for him to, I mean, is it safe to say that he's pretty much done for the season?
I think it's possible he might be able to get back maybe for the playoffs. I think that might be the timetable right there.
So he's pretty much done. I mean, from a guy you're talking about with hamstring injuries in his career, you know, once you come back from a hamstring, you need another month just to find your rhythm. And then on top of that, we have to remember he missed most of last season as well. So I wouldn't really count on him if I'm a Plymouth Raider fan. But if I had to sum it up in one word, maybe the expectations got to him. You know, everyone was feeling the Plymouth Raiders. I remember Darius Defoe coming on here, pumping them up. Daniel Rutledge, all of us, myself, you, Andy Thompson, we had him ranked in the top four in the preseason predictions. And maybe that just got a little bit too much for him. But, you know, with 7 losses, it's going to be really difficult for them to climb out of that hole and think about championship aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts, but hey, we've got to remain professional here on the show. We've done it with the Lions. We've done it with the Scorchers, who then themselves took a tough loss tonight. But yeah, this Plymouth Raiders is a tough one. I'm getting a lot of questions, obviously, on social media because everybody knows, you know, ex-Raiders player, ex-Raiders coach, ex-Raiders fan. You know, I sat in the pavilions when I was a kid dreaming of being able to play on that court. You know, it hurts right now. And I think just like the Lions, understanding that there's finances behind it, what made me so excited was that this wasn't just any investment. This was investment of people that already own another basketball club. So they know how to run a team. That got me real excited. Me, though, looking at the problems. So if I had to just pick one situation that I think is the issue, is I have to say, I think that the import recruitment has been poor. And what I say to that is people might get a little bit defensive and because you get attached to these players when you're watching them play and, you know, think that I'm suggesting that there should be change and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is look at those players in those positions and then run yourself through the league and tell me which player that you would switch it for. Okay. That's where I think that you've got to judge it. And hey, that's for you, the fans. Go and have a look at it. I'm not going to be subjective and try and, you know, fight for those causes. But look at those names in the point guard position, shooting guard position. You got Marcel now, small forward. You've got your big in eBay. Have a look and see what that's telling you. Not just the stats, but the eye test auto. Get at me on the social media and let me know. I'm happy to be wrong if you prove me wrong, but that's what I see as the issue. If you look at the British players, there's a really nice core. There's an exciting young core. There's an experienced core. Hamilton has gone down there to win, and he has won before in this league. And he has done it with Will Neighbor. He has done it with Elvisi Dusha. That there's potential there for that Raiders team. And I think that the Lawrence situation has put them in a spin. And I think their recruitment has been particularly poor.
As usual, Jay, telling it like it is here on the BBL show.
That was not comfortable. I didn't like it, but just saying it how it is. And also one thing I did notice, end of this game, a very uncharacteristic Coach Paul James having a long conversation with the referees. And for me, yes, question marks over the call, but he's not that guy. He's not that type of guy. And that shows me, I think, there's a little bit of stress in the camp. I think they wanted to get that win. If they could have come out at 50%, having lost it, Leicester Riders, one of the best teams in the league, if they could have snuck one off the Eagles, that would have been a decent weekend. Losing two, and they're losing ground, and it hurts. Sort it out, guys. Come on, let's go.
Tough.
Player of the week candidates. Okay, here we go. We've picked three. Starting, DeAndre Liggins, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals for a 30 index. Nice game. You know he is always flirting with a triple-double. Jalen Hayes came up big tonight. 31 points, 14 rebounds with a 32 index. Kept his guys in it until the cavalry could arrive and get them over the line. And then lastly, I'm not trying to put any influence on this player of the week, but man, what a stat line. Gino Crandell, General Gino, 18 points, 17 rebounds, 8 assists for a 35 index. Is it even a competition? Look, I shouldn't say that. I don't mean to be subjective, but that is a beautiful stat line. Okay, Drew, let's get our guests in the room. We welcome back our 21 Media family, Yvonne Harris, and Newcastle Eagles big man, Justin Gordon. Okay, Yvonne, welcome back. The last time we spoke to you on here, you were whooping myself and Aunt Rose butt at the basketball movie game. Great to have you in the room. And then Justin, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
I appreciate the invite.
No, it's really good to have you here. And listen, right now, Yvonne is going to navigate us through this little segment. It's over to you, Yvonne.
Thank you, Jay and Drew. It's always great to spend time with you both. And Justin, it's so wonderful to meet you as well. This weekend, as you know, the world honors and celebrates the legacy of Dr. King, which what would have been his 92nd birthday. That's so hard for me to believe. For those who need a quick foundation, Dr. King led the U.S. civil rights movement, rooted in the tenets of nonviolent protest. And no other year can I recall other than 2020 has the spirit of Dr. King really and truly been alive and well. As I reflect on Black Lives Matter, which Jay, you just mentioned, Say Her Name, my heart is truly warmed by the millions of people across the globe who continued progress in social justice issues. The gratitude that I feel is also extended to professional athletes who use this as an opportunity to transform their platforms and make them agents of change. I look at the BBL players, Drew, Justin, and all your teammates, the NBA players, and then a special shout out and recognition to the WNBA players who really pushed for voter registration in ways that I have not seen in my lifetime that really made an impact in the landscape here in the US. So Dr. King needs to be recognized this weekend. Thank you guys so much for creating space on this podcast to do that. And Justin, let me just start with you. Growing up, what were some of the lessons about Dr. King that you remember fondly?
Some of the lessons, just as far as they really lean towards how he dealt with the adversity and also just the negativity around all the positive messages that he tried to bring. So growing up, really, I was usually one of the very few or one of the only African-American kids in my class. So, you know, as we can tell now, those same lessons and same hints of racism aren't as far gone as we would like to believe or as some would like to believe. And those are things that I dealt with at a very young age. And it was really just between, you know, showing, being the bigger person and trying to take those hits on the chin and learning how to navigate and deal with those adversities and negativities that people are taught, and they're taught at a very young age. And as well, as much as we would like to think that that his fight was won, it's clearly that we know, like, we still have to continue his messages and continue, like you said, the protests and the impacts that we need to do with both our older and younger communities to keep going, because we definitely still have a long way to go.
Absolutely. Jay, I'm curious, since you didn't grow up in the U.S., what were some of your early lessons about Dr. King?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to touch on, really, is my sort of lessons at Dr. King didn't start until I got to college in the States. So after I took a scholarship to go and play over in the States. And that's where I think that my education of life and the world started to open up around me. You know, the Plymouth we know today, it was a lot smaller when I was kind of growing up. So understanding, you know, more about Dr. King came from college, really. And I think to follow on from Justin is the thing that fascinated me and the thing that I continue to look at is his poise under conflict. He realized that there was a bigger picture than the way in which he was being attacked. So he was able to rise above that. And I think that we're starting to understand that what he created around him, as we know, was love, you know? And I think that in today's society, especially, and the reason why I'm so passionate about revisiting it is, how can I support my friends who are going through this even better? How can I help them rise above and be next to them during that conflict without insulting them or without belittling them or making them feel like they're not empowered? You know, how can I be next to them in that situation? And I think that's what I learned, is just how he dealt with conflict was just fascinating for me.
So well said, Jay. Now, Drew, to you, you spent your formative years in Germany, then you moved to the U.S. Do you remember your first lessons about Dr. King?
Yeah, I learned about him later on in life. And like you mentioned, so it's, you know, I grew up in Germany and I returned to the States when I was about 8 or 9. And that was a really tough transition for me because, you know, I was really picked on a lot. I was bullied a lot just for the simple fact of being different. The way I, you know, the way my thought process, the way I spoke was different. And so for me, as a kid, like, I had all these big dreams and aspirations, but I never shared them outwardly because, you know, my confidence was knocked from the bullying. And when I was introduced to Dr. King, one thing that he was able to give me was courage. You know, he gave me the courage to stand up for what I believe in. And he gave me that mindset of, you know, why not me? Why can't it not be me? Why can't I be a trailblazer? Why can't I be a leader in my community? Why can't I go and do all of these things that people might feel that are impossible, that I can accomplish those things? So, you know, when I was introduced to him, you know, in my early junior high years, I would have to say he played a pivotal role for me to be able to not only just say, I'm gonna go do this and accomplish that, but to be able to express it outwardly as well.
Justin, going back to you, I know that we see things differently as an adult than we do as children. What aspects of Dr. King's legacy resonate with you most today?
What resonates most today is more that like, we have to continue what he was fighting for. It's more of like seeing how similar things were in a greater aspect, like in a greater lens, like how similar they are than how they are today. As far as like, when we're taught in school, like it was more of, oh, this is like distant past, you know, these are, he did this and this is over with, but like, we're here today. We should accept how things are. It's more like, this is what it is then. And look at how it's been changed and developed to how things are today. So just because the lessons aren't directly 100% the same, we have to learn how the world has adapted and how we need to adapt and reteach those lessons. So totally, like, his entire motive, his entire peaceful protest, his, you know, I have a dream that we can do things, like, that dream still hasn't been fulfilled in my eyes. So I think we just, it's more realizing how far we have to go. And like, you know, you see those black and white pictures in the textbook with Dr. King, like, they, you know, that's, it's not, like you said, he would have been 92 today. Like, he wouldn't have, most likely he would not have died a natural death if he wasn't killed to this point. So we have to realize, like, it really wasn't that long ago.
What do you think he would say, Justin, if he were still here?
I know he would have a lot to say. You know, it's, I believe it would have given him the ability to connect and find, more give us the ability to connect with people who grew up in the thick of, you know, this whole movement. Like, we don't have those big time leaders, like, publicly that we had in the back end before, because they were limited. And now, like you said, we have NBA players, WNBA players to look up to. Like, it's more of a collective effort. And without like that one face to it, it gives people the ability to like downplay it and make it and creative, or create an ulterior motive that it's really not even there. It's just the only way that people can downplay your positivity is by turning it into negativity. And we see that, we saw that then, and we see that a lot now too.
And it was so powerful when you said that his dream still has not been realized. So there's still a lot of work to do. Jay, I know you take your allyship role very seriously in how you show up for your friends and your colleagues of different backgrounds. What aspects of Dr. King's legacy resonate most with you?
Well, I think it's super prevalent right now, you know, and I think that that's maybe more than ever why this day is so important, that we give it a limelight and a focus. Like Justin rightly said, you know, there's some great people lobbying as athletes. You know, I know that we look at LeBron James, we look at what's happening with the WNBA. There's some really great conversations going on some of those pods. You know, so you look at JJ Redick is one of those guys, I think, is also bringing that limelight. But also, you've got to talk about people that we will probably never even know about are leading those peaceful protests, are stepping, using that stepping stone of how Martin Luther King presented himself in order for them to find the courage to take those steps, you know, because a peaceful protest with everything going on, you know, I'm sure every single day we see things that are angering us. It's really difficult for us to keep a clarity and a focus right where we need it to be. And that's where we need his legacy to resonate through all of us, and revisiting it on situations like having a whole day where we can really have a deep dive on that situation. I think there's no bigger time than this year, this moment, right now.
Drew, what about you? How are your thoughts about Dr. King different as an adult than they were as a child?
I think the biggest thing for me, what resonates with me, is the act to protest and to speak out nonviolently. And we've seen how this whole thing has come full circle. So I remember seeing the clips where we were sprayed with the fire hose, when we were beaten, we were hit, and we never reacted or retaliated. And then as time moved on, you know, that built up and we started to fight violence with violence. And then once you fast forward to the George Floyd situation, that's what I mean, how I see it come full circle and resonating with me in regards to Dr. King, is that, you know, with the protest this time around, it was nonviolent. It was all peaceful. And, you know, most people were probably expecting you know, to fight violence with violence, the looting, et cetera, et cetera. But it was the complete opposite of that. And for me, I feel like that has began the transition into us moving in the right direction. I feel like with the peaceful protest, it allowed for people to really understand and feel what we go through. Because normally when we, you know, fight violence with violence, you see it in the media. What do they put out there? They put out the looting, they put out the fighting, and the message gets lost. You almost forget about, they don't tell you why the people are looting, why the people are upset. They just focus on that. But because there wasn't much of that, you know, it was a little bit, but it wasn't much of that to focus on. It gave everyone an opportunity to look at the situation and say, you know, why are these people feeling this way? You know, different. And what I mean by that is the other cultures. And from that, you know, everyone obviously came together. And that was the most beautiful thing during that time. Well, during this time, because, you know, I still see it, is that the diversity among the protesters. It's not just Black people out there. You know, it's all the cultures, young, old. And so, you know, that's the biggest thing that has resonated with me.
Justin, I mentioned earlier professional athletes and their role of advocacy this year. What causes are important to you, and how are you challenging your teammates, your friends, your family to make a difference?
Really, mostly just it's becoming more than an education, like more than a movement in trying to dull the noise in the Black Lives Matter protests, and trying to show people that it's not like a fad, and trying to show that it's more than just a popular movement. Like it's literally life and death for people, and people, and most of the time it's people who look just like me. So whether that's just letting people know like how you grew up, or letting people know that those little jokes, those little things that you might think are funny, are rooted in hate and rooted in racism. And just because you were taught that this is acceptable, it doesn't mean that I'm going to allow you to get away with that, or that I can allow you to keep doing that to somebody else. Because at the end of the day, like, you have been through an experience where you learned that this was okay. And like before, we would, as a people, we would allow that, we would, you know, turn the other cheek. And now, like, it's more the courage, like Drew said, like the courage to speak out. And now that everyone is aware of it, it can be turned into a different light, or it can be shown in light in little conversations like that. And really, it's just becoming that one word on Drew's shirt, in quality. So hopefully we can reach that by just doing the little things.
And that's such a powerful reminder, Justin. It's not, you know, big projects all the time, just what you described. It's choosing to challenge the microaggressions. It's the little things. It's sowing the positive seed into the one person, and just knowing that once you do that, it'll carry forward to another person's. So I think that's really powerful what you said, and I'm glad you pointed that out. Drew, what about you? What causes are important to you in 2021, and how are you challenging your teammates and your network to join you?
You know, to me, it comes down to one word, and Justin touched on it, and that's the word on my shirt, and that's equality. For me, in particular, I try to be an example to teammates, you know, friends, family, anyone who may look up to me, that we can be the difference, you know, and using our voice, using our platform to provide opportunities for others. Yvonne, as you and I have done, you know, when it comes to opportunities, that we don't look at race, we don't look at gender, just providing an opportunity for talent. And that's what a lot of people ask for, is, you know, to break down those barriers and just be given a fair opportunity. You know, when we talk about equality, that's what is being asked. It's not asking for handouts. It's not asking to be given something. It's just ask, just give me a fair shot. Give me an opportunity. Don't look at the application and see that my name might be a little bit unique. So, you know, it's a great chance that they could be African-American or Hispanic or whatever, and then automatically just put our application at the bottom of the pile. You know, is to get past that and to look at each individual and to say, hey, do they have the talent to, you know, perform the job, and line 9 men and women up and let the best person win. And that's what's huge for me. And that's the legacy that I want to leave, and just providing not only opportunities for myself and my family, but other people who may not be in a position to.
Well, and that's really an extension of Dr. King's legacy of focusing on the content of one's character and not on the color of their skin. So that's still alive today. And thanks for that reminder, Drew. Jay, what are some of your thoughts? What are you advocating for in 2021?
So I think for me is, still have a lot of learning and understanding to do to know what impact I can have. I have concerns that I'll happily talk about. Is one of those things is people might even be surprised by this pod when it drops on Tuesday, like, oh, where did that conversation come from all of a sudden? Because we've got COVID, we've got a pandemic, you know, and people may feel in this country, especially with UK, we're in the lockdown and different things like that. So I have a concern that we're losing momentum from that perspective because we're diverted and thinking about something else. On the other hand, it could be a positive as well, because it's bringing us all together and making us realize that we are one big community. So once something like this has affected us all, and we've all had to change. And also it's just understanding, from my perspective, it's understanding the UK, how do we change? You know, so one of the early things that started to happen in some of the protests was trying to challenge a lot of the history here. A lot of the history and a lot of statues that you will see here that steeped in history can be tracked back to things like slavery and different things. So people want to see those changes. And is that the right place to focus? Or is it, you know, like Justin saying, is putting that best foot forward and addressing those smaller things, making those changes and being those people. Like Drew saying, is of course he wants to do something to make his family proud, but also I think that he does understand that he's setting the standard for the next lot of people that want to come and achieve. You know, why can't they do that? We're seeing this right now in the BBL, is we are seeing it with the Sky Sports. We are seeing for the first time people being more than an athlete. You've got Drew Lasker involved. You've got Kieran Achara. You've got Anthony Rowe. Some of these guys are still playing. When I was still playing before I retired, if I spoke about something other than basketball, I was kind of accused of not being focused on my job, which is not the truth at all. Like, that's not real life. You know, I'm in real life now. I have a job. I do the podcast. I've got my family. I love fitness. I've got other entrepreneurial things I want to achieve. That is life. And that is how it should be perceived. So for me, I still don't quite understand where I fit in. I just want to keep the conversation going. And, you know, kind of what concerns me in having these conversations is, like, a friend of mine in Utah, Yehosh Bonner, very, very successful guy, been on TV, does a lot of work for his church, is a principal at a school, as well as doing coaching for basketball, just a pillar of the community. And even himself has spoken about the difference in how myself and him will view the police, for example. His simple drive of the family, you know, I get in the car with my family to go somewhere or go to the gym. I can just switch off, you know? And he said for him, there's always just that little bit of fear, which is incredible for how he's thought of in that community, that he still feels that way. And that kind of made me tear up in that conversation, you know, because I love that guy and I never even thought about the color of his skin. He's just my friend, and I love being around him. And I hadn't taken that moment to get out of myself and put myself in his shoes. And I think that if we can have the ability to do that more often, that could be a great start, I think.
Well, and Jay and Drew, you guys have done such a great job in providing, I guess, a channel or platform for these conversations. And I think they're helpful So, you know, Jay, we just have to keep talking about it and figure out the best way to make an impact. And whether it's like just an excuse me in the small things or in some of the bigger programming things, we'll find a way to make things better.
Yeah, we really appreciate your time, Yvonne. That's really been great. And I have a question to finish for everyone. You know, the last time we spoke with Yvonne, it was referenced the commitment from the BBL as a league to the Black Lives Matter movement. We've seen the continuation of taking the knee at games, which has been a real positive. But my question is that enough? And should we be doing more? Now, I want to add a little bit of context in there because I realize we're in a pandemic, like I've just explained. The UK is in lockdown, you know, so being able to do is community outreach programs and stuff like that have probably got to go on the back burner. And the league itself is navigating that with huge hurdles. So it's not a get on the league type of question, but I just want to know what your guys' thoughts are, especially coming up into a final where something like that could be so impactful. We've seen the NBA do that with the bubble and the WNBA doing that as well, also in their bubble. It had a huge impact. Do you think that we should be doing more?
It's kind of tough to, like, I believe we're in a transition point where we can be informative or we can take action. And I feel like, I don't know the situation as far as the United Kingdom, like as far as like how dire the situation is here versus how it is in the US. Like, I do understand that the US is probably like the pinnacle of this whole movement and the, obviously like the situations and the occurrences, but I also know that this isn't only in the US. So it's tough to say that we aren't doing enough as far as bringing information. I do see, like, I believe it was Glasgow, they had a patch on the court with the Black Lives Matter. And they also had a patch on the court with, I think it was something to do with the LGBT community. And I think that things like that can go a long way, but we do need to switch into that action kind of mindset. And like you said, it is a pandemic and we are in lockdown currently. So that also can be leading us to more information because all people have to do right now is, you know, sit at home and watch TV and hopefully they're watching us play basketball, but you never know. So that could lead to more informative things as far as infomercials between our timeouts or, you know what I mean? Like things like that, other than just watching athletes kneel on the floor. And it's kind of tough as far as to explain that answer, but that's what I have.
Yes, it's a tough situation. Like you guys mentioned with the pandemic and, you know, I would like to assume that if there were fans in the stands, that there will be an opportunity to do more, you know, maybe something after the game, maybe a player get on a microphone, speak into the crowd before. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of say we should be doing X, Y, and Z, but I would like to, for teams to maybe start talking about if they haven't already, firstly, what are they doing in their local communities or what are their plans once things return back to normal? I think by every team, you know, making a formal announcement, you know, just every once in a while, every month or whatever, just saying, hey, this is what we're doing in our community, or these are the plans that we have in place when it's, you know, safer out there to do so, to actually put feet on the ground. So I think that's the next level that we can go to. And, you know, we can also work around the pandemic, you know, with, you know, the way that we're speaking to each other now through Zoom. You know, there's things that teams in the league can be doing, you know, where they're getting these virtual conferences or, you know, whatever the case can be. I think we have to start moving in that direction.
Yvonne, I know you're at a distance, but you know, you're involved and you talk to the league as well. And, you know, what do you think that we could do better?
Actually, I think, you know, we've touched on it throughout this conversation, and what comes to mind, Jay, is everyone just needs to find their lane. I think I'm resonating or connecting a lot more to Justin in that it could just be a sum total of the little things until we get out of COVID, until things are safer and we can talk about more large scale movements. But right now you can still have an influence in your network, an influence with your family, your children, your friends, and you can be using a lot of this at home time educating people. Like today, I would love for the BBL show listeners to go and search Dr. King. If you haven't heard one of his speeches, they're actually very amazing to listen to. And it goes beyond the I Have a Dream speech, which a lot of people have heard. There's so many others. So in terms of the league work, Jay, I think the league has done a great job in supporting its players, but I think it's time for the players to step up and talk about what's important, whether it's racial issues, whether it's LGBTQ issues, whether it's the fight for women's equality and gender equity. There's an opportunity for everyone to have a voice, and you just have to start at home.
Yeah, I love that answer, actually, because as much as you feel like the league needs to be proactive, it is also about those people involved in those leagues going there and putting those ideas. That's how this show came to life, is because we pitched an idea, we brought an idea to the table. It fit, it came at the right time, and we were able to execute that. So why not for those bigger standpoints? You know, I see us announcing this week about TikTok, 5 million followers on this platform of hashtag British basketball. I think we all look at the fact that we can put somebody's singing voice on or something like that, but TikTok can be used in many different ways. So that could be something that you bring to the table there. It's using that social media and the platform, but I totally agree with you that players using their voices as well, we can be very proactive with that. So let's look and see what happens as we navigate ourselves through this COVID. I feel especially the last couple of weeks, for the league, trying to navigate their way through this must be an absolute nightmare. So, you know, absolute kudos to them. Look, Justin, we got a cup final to prepare for. This is exciting for you. Your first final is the Newcastle Eagles. You've had a lot of success against the London Lions this season. I've got two questions for you. Like, why do you think that is, firstly? And then coming into this final, do you anticipate that they might try and do something different with you, considering just how big of an impact you've had in those games?
To answer the first question, I just play hard. If I can't impact the game always by scoring the basketball. So as we saw tonight, terrible shooting night. So I didn't have a good shooting night against them last time particularly. So you just got to play hard. I can impact the game on both ends of the floor, and I don't necessarily need to score 20 points to help us win. So I know we've got other guys who can do a lot of other things for our team, and I don't have to wear that burden on my shoulders. And I know that going in the game, and I know that going in every single game. So as long as I bring my energy and my defensive impact, I know I can impact the game. I'll find a way to do whatever I need to do on the offensive end. But as far as adjusting to that, I don't know how you adjust to somebody playing hard. That's why coaches teach you that from a young age. Just whatever you do, just do it to your best of your abilities. And we got a week off to let me rest and build up that energy bar so I can go as hard as I can for next Sunday.
I was going to say that as a former coach, I was going to say that probably is the toughest thing to prepare for when you've got a guy that's purely feeding off energy. So it's not like if I take a certain thing away from you, that is necessarily going to stop your energy bar. You know what I mean? You're still going to be playing hard. And then whatever pieces of that puzzle is coming to you, you're going to add. That's very hard to prepare for. So that was a great answer, actually. Coach Vince, if you're listening, you got a tough job in your hands.
And Justin, as you talk about using this week to recharge the batteries, and I've actually touched on it a little bit here on this show in particular about your regimen and how you're very specific. And I even gave him a little bit of insight to your pregame meal. I didn't tell him what you eat, but just talk a little bit about your game-to-game preparation, because I've been around a long time and I haven't come across many guys like yourself who gets it about the longevity of the game, the professionalism, as far as like taking care of their body and all those things. And so touch on that a little bit about why that's important to you. And then coming up into this cup final, which I guess is fair to say is the biggest game of your pro career, do you plan on changing any of that at all, adding in some wrinkles, or just touch on that?
The reason that I've gotten more and more focused into that as far as taking care of my body is my favorite player is LeBron James. He spends, what was it, $1.6 million a year. And clearly I don't have $1.6 million to spend on my body, but I can do the best I can, and I can find little ways to make myself feel more fresh. And I am an athlete as far as the way I play the game. And like I said, I do play hard. I put my body on the line, and I need to be able to take care of that. Like, my body is my business. So I need to invest as much as I can. And if it's not dollars, then I need to invest time, and I need to invest focus, you know? So on a weekly basis, you already know I stretch as much as possible before practice. I like to take pride in the fact that I haven't had any injuries, you know, knock on wood, and soft tissue injuries. And those are the things that especially we've seen coming out of the pandemic has plagued guys, because of that type of preparation is really key when it comes to that. And but other than that, you know, I got my Hypervolt gun. That thing's probably going to croak out in about a year or two, because I'll probably put the thing through the ringer. And I also do yoga, so that's definitely helped me out. This summer I started probably getting more consistent with that, and it's also the first time I had a full-time like personal trainer for my weights this summer. So shout out to Complex Miami, you know, they helped me out, get me right, keep myself and my body in best shape that I've been in a while.
Yeah, keep doing
that pregame regimen, you know. I don't think I'm gonna change too much about that, man. Like, other than, you know, taking care of my body, like physically stretching and, you know, being in the weight room, things like that, I am an avid eater. So any food, like, it's got to go in my system, and hopefully it's some good quality food. So you got to, I learned from one of my friends that the most important meal is the one the night before the game. So most people like to focus on that pregame meal, but Your battery's already been charged from the night before. So if you didn't eat good the night before, you're not really doing too much.
Most of the time, Justin, when you have those monster games, what are you putting in your body? Do you want to let the people know what you put in your body?
I mean, yeah, you know, sometimes one of those, the most of the time, you know, that I let you know what's going on. I have a steak and some sweet potatoes.
And, yeah, he go big, you know, big cowboy steak.
Gotta have that ribeye, you know, that's the best one. So, you know, fry that up real good in the pan and get to it, man. Wish I had a grill, you know, but, you know, I don't own my house out here, you know, like Big Dog Drew, you know. Maybe I'll get there when I'm the best.
Hey, you got to make do. You talk about my goodie bag, Jay. I think in a couple years, Justin is going to have me beat. But for any of our listeners out there who follow Coach Marriott on Twitter, make sure you go follow him, because before every BBL game, he is putting his analyst face on and he's giving you thoughts pregame, halftime, and post game. But Jay, I'm going to put you on the spot here on the BBL show.
I'm ready.
Who do you think is going to win the game on Sunday, and who is going to be your MVP?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, because we have our weekly picks. So it's competitive, and I've took a hit this week too. You know, it's a couple of risks, and then also I led by the heart and been hurt by the Raiders, you know. So I've been thinking about this a lot. What do I think possibly happened in this finals? And I've got to back my guy. I just have a feeling that you guys are going to get it done in this cup final. And there's a couple of reasons around this. I think there's no doubt that you guys will be slight underdogs, okay? Just because of the expectation level, the hype, the conversations that was all happening in the preseason around this Lions team. And now it's kind of funny, the interaction you're starting to see on the social media. Now they've had a couple of good weeks. you're starting to see a lot more interaction and people coming back to that conversation. Oh, I told you that they were going to be juggernauts, and now they're waking up and now they're getting ready to go. And I think a key for them was getting that Leicester Riders win. So they were two steals away from maybe that being a loss, and that might have changed that rhythm. So I think that they are in a really good rhythm. But for you guys, every single time you've been asked the question in the big moments, you guys have come good. And, you know, that's not to say you've had a couple of losses along the way, but I'm talking about the big games, when it matters, when to get those wins, and they've come in several different fashions. I think that potential MVP is, I'm tossing and turning between Justin. You know, I've already said he's my MVP for the season. I said that already, and I left Fletch on the table. That was tough.
That is true.
That was tough. I think Justin, or somebody who's not going to be talked about, is Maxwell. I think he could be one of those under the radar that could come good, because I can see them preparing immaculately for Fletch and Cortez. It's just too obvious. It's too right there in your face. If you're a coach, you're thinking to yourself, somehow you shut that down, you're going to beat the Eagles, and it doesn't quite work like that. So I could see Justin either just doing what Justin does. So his stat line now is the expectation. Sorry to put pressure on you there, Justin. Or I could see Maxwell getting that 3-point shot going. They have a nice little tandem going on. I've noticed Maxwell goes off in the first quarter, usually. In the first half, sorry. And then Justin gets going in the second half. So I don't know if that's something that you guys are talking about in the locker room and he just says your turn, but there's something about it. So I think you guys are going to get it done. I've yet to see this new, quote-unquote, London Lions team get smacked in the face, you know. And I think if they face that adversity, what would they be like as a team? Will they stay together? You know, that would be the interesting part for me. So neck on the line, Newcastle Eagles. And then if I have to choose an MVP, I'm going with Justin. No pressure. Get your stake in you. Don't miss that. If you have to go to Drew's house to get the clean grill on it, do that too. Whatever it takes. Okay?
Just make sure you bring the steaks.
Right, yeah.
I can provide the grill. I can't provide them big boys you eating.
Hey, man. I heard you shop at Waitrose, man. That's too much for me.
You did not hear that. You did not hear that. That's Fletcher.
All right, okay, to finish off this conversation, we need to finish in real fashion. It's time for the Lasker Look Back.
In this episode of the Lasker Look Back, we take a look at the history of the BBL Cup. This prestigious event was known as the National Cup into 2003, which was reestablished as the BBL Cup. Normally, this event is held at the NIA in Birmingham. However, due to some guy named COVID-19, this event has shifted to the University of Worcester Arena. In the game's history, the Newcastle Eagles, in 9 appearances, are tied with the Sheffield Sharks, who have made 8 trips themselves with 6 wins each, which are most in the competition's history. 3 of those being consecutive wins from 2015 to 2018 for the Eagles, with Ramon Fletcher being named MVP in all of them. However, the Guildford Heat has the highest winning percentage, as they are 4-0 all time in the competition. Interested to know who will be on the whistle for the big event? There are currently 7 referees who have reffed the game 4 times in its history. So if you want to have a guess which 3 will be courtside, those names are Gavin Williams, Rob Life, Richard Stokes, Colin Gerard, Rob Hickman, Hayden Jones, and Dell Atchison. Headed into Sunday, the Eagles and Lions go into it with a ton of momentum, sitting both at 1st and 2nd in the league, respectively. And the last time these two faced off in a big event, 2014-15 season, in which the Eagles defeated the Lions in the playoff final, 96-84, to close out the clean sweep. With that being said, none of that matters on Sunday, which makes this game and the competition that much more intriguing. We'll see you on Sunday. Thank you to your fans out there who support us. Thank you, Justin, Yvonne, for joining us today. We have a few tricks in the bag this week, guys, so make sure you listen out. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. We laid a few Easter eggs for you guys, so be on the lookout. Until then, Dr. King said once he had a dream, but as Justin said earlier, that dream has not been achieved. So continue to run the race. Continue to do your part. If you're out there asking, what can you do? It doesn't have to be anything big. It can be as simple as just having open dialogue or asking a question to someone. Until next time, guys, the show.
The show.
I'd like to leave our listeners with my favorite quote from Dr. King. And he said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. So Justin, Drew, and Jay, thank you for not being silent about things that matter.
Thanks for listening to The BBL Show. The BBL Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following The BBL on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.